Please be seated. Wednesday, a week ago, I spoke at the Lenten program at St. James Episcopal Church in Fairhope, Alabama. St. James is one of our partner parishes in our hurricane recovery, and they have absolutely been phenomenal in supporting us. They were the first to send work crews to help clear debris. They made literally hundreds of pre-cooked meals that before we had power, we could warm up on the grill and feed people. They, before Christmas, brought Christmas stockings to every single kid at Holy Nativity School that included, you know, candy and trinkets and all that stuff, but also included a $20 Chick-fil-A gift card. The kids were thrilled. And they have been most gracious in their financial support of our parish. But their Lenten topic was called The Wonder of the Word. Specifically, I was asked to talk about my relationship with Scripture and how Scripture informs our relationship with God. Now, I've always believed that Scripture is best understood and inwardly digested when viewed first in the context in which it was written, but just as importantly, in our own context. For me, that's what makes the Bible a living document, not merely a historical one. But I also realized that as one of our partner parishes, that the folks at St. James wanted to hear a little bit about the hurricane. And the truth is, that was okay, because Hurricane Michael is our context every single day. Unfortunately, it's the lens through which we view just about everything, including Scripture. So addressing their topic while also talking about the storm was really, unfortunately, just a natural fit. We have gone through now 4 seasons of the lectionary since the storm, and I told them that it's been amazing to me how Scripture, and especially our lectionary readings, have spoken to all of us in ways deeper and different than I think they have before. And I'll admit that I struggle with seeming to mention the storm in every single sermon, because I'm not one of those kind of people who likes to pick a Bible verse and use it as you see fit. Faith is not a soundbite or a tagline. And I actually bow up a little bit when people try to do that. But I also think that sometimes we are so familiar with gospel texts that we miss the richness of them when taken in their intended context and trying to figure out what it means in our context. So I told the group at St. James that I've talked with a number of friends and colleagues, and we even talked about it a little bit on Wednesday night this week, about when I should stop referencing the storm in every single sermon. And it was one of the folks at St. James who, without hesitation, replied, "You stop mentioning it when it stops being relevant." And we all know it hasn't stopped being relevant. And I guess I've come to the conclusion that while I won't force the storm into every single lectionary text, I'm also not going to ignore the fact that with the storm as our lens and our context, Scripture just might have something different to say to us than it has before. And that was the case when I looked at this very familiar and favorite gospel text of the prodigal son. That it's really part of 3 different parables. There's the parable of a lost sheep first, and then a parable of a lost coin, and then the lost son. I think that all of us in some way like the parable of the prodigal son, because all of us feel in some way that we've been there before. We've been the son who was welcomed back and loved by the father unconditionally. And that unconditional part is the part that gives us hope and gives us comfort. And every single one of us wants a God that's like that boy's father, loving, forgiving, accepting, and able to wipe the slate clean for no other reason than extravagant love. In fact, the word prodigal really does mean recklessly extravagant, then the parable might be more appropriately named the prodigal father. And we like and we need a God like that. Three parables: a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. And these days, you and I know a little bit about things lost, don't we? But I think what stood out to me the most in today's text was there was a whole lot of rejoicing. A whole lot of rejoicing going on when what was lost was found. That rejoicing stuck with me this week as I tried to figure out a sermon for this morning. When was the last time you rejoiced? Think about it. I'm talking about really rejoiced. I'm talking about knee-buckling, heartfelt, shout-with-joy kind of rejoicing that all of us have known so often in our lives. When was the last time you rejoiced? The storm may have taken material things from us, but we cannot allow it to take our joy. And it occurred to me that the rejoicing in our text today doesn't merely come when things get better, but it came from a relentless and even desperate search for what it might be that's been lost, because what is lost matters. Every one of us have lost a lot since the storm. Most things are replaceable, some things aren't. And when we reclaim some of those things, there will be rejoicing, I guess, or maybe just relief. But we have lost more than material things. In varying degrees, all of us at times have lost things like hope and trust and routine and faith and gratitude, relationships. You can make your own list. All those things matter too. Actually, those things probably matter more. And I wonder if, when joy seems elusive, if we might have to be as diligent as a shepherd, a widow, and a father, and be relentless, even desperate, in our search to reclaim and truly rejoice in finding what's been lost. Maybe it's as simple as finding appreciation in the seemingly trivial things in life, in the quiet moments you share with another, in your accomplishments that in a different time might seem insignificant, in still pursuing your dreams, in making full use of your talents and abilities, in making plans for the future, or in reaching out and lending a hand to someone in need. We may not be in control of reclaiming the material things that we've lost, but we are completely in control of reclaiming the spiritual and emotional things in our lives that have been damaged and lost. It might just take a little more effort and a little more diligent searching. But I believe the human brain is hardwired for hope, which means we don't merely settle for what is. And it is through such hope and some relentless searching where what is lost can once again be found, where what is broken can be mended, and for what seems so elusive can be reclaimed. God love you. Rejoice. Amen.